Regnus the most read verse, but between that and Psalms 23, you know, they are probably the most read scripture that there is. But you know, I tell you, as far as I'm concerned, just getting here anywhere at all and just read God's word, it's all good. It's all good. It'll bless you. Blesses me each and every day. And I know if it wasn't for the Lord, I wouldn't be here today. I know where I'd be at. I'd be in hell. But thank God. Three individuals come to my home one afternoon, Monday afternoon in August, 1980. And shared the gospel with me, and John 3:16 was one of them. And then over there in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13, I believe it was, he shared with me. And that night I gave my heart and my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. One but a few weeks later, I asked him to be the Lord of my life. He's already my Savior. He can be your Savior. But he has to be the Lord of your life. That's where the difference comes in at. When you ask him to be the Lord in your life, and when you ask him that, then he knows that you mean business. You mean business with him. And not only that, that you'll love him, and you will try to your very best to do everything that he asked you to do. And I know that sometimes I failed him, but I thank God that he's never failed me. But I can always go back to him and ask him to forgive me. And he does. Every day. Because I come short every day. But here, I got one verse of scripture that I'm going to read. And it's in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 7. One verse of scripture that I'm going to read. Then I'm going to go to Acts chapter 10 and verse 14, and I'm going to be reading that in a little bit. But here in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 7 says, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him." Samuel here, he did not know the Lord as his Savior. He did not know anything about him. Because at that time, nobody had revealed God's word to Samuel. And we have over here in the book of Acts, chapter 10. And one verse there, verse 14. We see where that Peter had also received the word, that Peter knew the Lord. But as he knowing the Lord, says in right here, says, "But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And this voice spake unto him again the second time, What God has cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again, up against into heaven." Right here, I want to bring a message on this thought. Saying no to God. Saying no to God. You know, I don't believe there's a place in this country, And I don't believe it's a place in the world where every individual hasn't heard the Word of God. Even some of the remote countries, overseas, they have been taking the Word of God. Just like here a while back, we had a missionary here, and the missionary was telling us that over there in the Philippines there, that pastor of that church there had taken on and was and had a radio station, a gospel radio station. What was he doing? He wanted to get the word out there. He wanted to get the word across the Philippines and in his neighborhood. That's what we need to do. We need to get the word in our neighborhood. And you say, are there people in Danville, Virginia, or Pennsylvania County that has never heard the word? I cannot say absolutely, but I believe that every individual has heard something about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. I believe that. Because we have missionaries in the States. We have missionaries all around the world. That's the reason we're a missionary-minded church. That's the reason we support missionaries. That's the reason we're behind them with the church and our prayers and our support and supporting them as they go out on the mission field. Because each and every time that they win someone to the Lord, then we also have a part in that. Not just us, but all the other churches also that supporting the missionaries. But we need to support missionaries more today than we ever have before. And we need to support them, I believe, for the United States of America, because the United States of America is done so, they got so far away from God, it's pitiful. People think that, well, I can go out here and I can do what I want to, and I can go over here and there and everything, but not so. One day they're going to come up. One day it's going to come up, and when we get to heaven, we're going to be surprised of the ones that's going to be there, and we're going to be a surprise of the ones that's not going to be there. There's going to be some there that we didn't think that would ever make it. Why? Because of our ideas and our thoughts and the way we think that the people should go. Every individual has their own heart. And God looks down on each and every individual's heart. Just like right now, God is looking at each one of our hearts this morning. And God can do it. Why? Because He is God. He can look it down on our hearts and He can see what each heart represents this morning at the same time. Why? Because He's God. Why? Because He's God. People want to ask the question, why? Why do you go to church? Why do I go to church? It's because of God, the reason I go to church. It's the reason God, because that He is the reason that I go to church. He is the reason that I'm trying my very best to preach His word. He is the reason that I go out and witness to people. The reason I go up and down the highway and try to invite people. When I'm in Lowe's, I'm always inviting someone. Or in Sam's or Walmart, wherever I'm at, I'm always inviting someone to come to church. Why? Because of God. If I didn't know God, if I didn't know anything at all about God, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't go out in here and run the roads and everything and maybe go out and visit somebody and invite someone to come to church. And I wouldn't go to someone's house that maybe had lost a loved one. Why? Because I wouldn't know God. See, God changes our lives. God does an open heart surgery within each of us, and He never leaves a scar. He takes that old stony, corrupt heart that I once had, He took it and He removed it from my body, and He put a brand new heart in. And the brand new heart represents Him. And represents Him only. It don't represent the world. It don't represent sin. But it represents Him. Why? Because it's what I think about. That's what I try to think about all the time. And when I'm not doing something at the house, or even when I lay down at night in bed, I always think about the Lord and how good God's been to me. Has God been good to you today? Has God been so good to you in the past that you want to do everything that you can to please God? If you don't want to please God, then you might well go on and say it. Because God is wasting His blessings on you if you do not want to please Him. He's wasting His blessings on your life if you don't want to please Him. Just like over in the book of Malachi, it says, prove me now. What he's saying, what Malachi there is saying, and he's saying it in chapter 3 and verse 10, in which all of you probably know what that verse is all about. It's talking about the tithes and the offering and the storehouse of God. But there's three words in it that we don't even think about. But what he says, and within all of that verse, and not just in that one verse, but all through the scripture, he is saying, you are my child. I want you to prove me now. I want you to come to me, and I want you to just ask me flat out, what do you need? And we'll go around, we'll beat around the bush. We'll beat around that, we'll beat around this and that and everything else. And then the next thing you know, we don't really forgot about who we went to God for. But God wants us to come to Him boldly. He wants to come to the throne of grace boldly. He wants us to pray with power. How do you pray with power? You pray with power in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and knowing the Holy Spirit as a personal individual, because the Holy Spirit is a He. The Holy Spirit is not a she, and the Lord Jesus Christ is not a she, and God the Father is not a she, but it's God the Father. God the Father is a spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ is a spirit. The Holy Ghost is a spirit. But they're all three in one, and they're all He. H-E. He. Not no she involved in it. Yes, I know a whole lot of people want to put she in it. And a whole lot of people out here, and you'll be surprised at some of these Bibles out here that you go to the Christian bookstore and you go out here and buy these Bibles out here. Yes, hey, they're changing the deity of Christ. They're changing the words and that. Why? To feed their own flesh. To feed their own flesh. There's a Bible like that that a lesbian was in part of rewriting the Bible. And I'm going to tell you which one it is. It's the NIV. The not inspired version. It wasn't inspired by God. But they wrote it, and these other people rewrite the Bible. Why? To please their own flesh and their own desires. If you don't have a Bible in it, it speaks about sin and it tells you blatantly what sin is. What does God say about drinking? No, God don't say anything at all about being an alcoholic. Which so many translations I hear, they done took the word drunkard out and they done put alcoholics in there. Some of them put in there the alternate lifestyle in there. Now, what does God say? God said this alternate lifestyle that the people are talking about today is an abomination to God. Obama nation. That right there includes the President of the United States. It's got his name on it. Now, I don't like to get on politics, but I won't tell you. It don't make no difference to me. He can come right in here if he wants to. And I can tell you one thing. I would sit here and I would ask him, and I would tell him, I said, "Do you realize that your name is in the Bible? And you don't even believe in the Bible?" He said, "Where is it at?" I said, "I'll tell you exactly where it's at." He is an abomination to this country. He's an abomination to this world. And he's trying to get this, the United States of America, to follow some of the, all the other countries, the ungodly countries that there are out here. And there's no country besides the United States of America. It's still standing today. United States of America is the only country United States of America is the only country that still exists, but it's not going to exist very long if this country keeps going the way it's going. And I make no apology about it. Yes, if they hear me on the radio, I mean, yes, they may be down here next Sunday, and they may come in, and they may have the FBI, and they may have the Homeland Security. They may have them all coming into this house right here. But I'll tell you what, when they do, they can come in with the handcuffs and everything, but I'm going to still tell them, I says, "You're an abomination of this country. Abomination of God. I'm not going to allow it to just take over my life. I'm going to preach the truth. God says I need for somebody to go ahead and preach the truth, and I'm going to preach the truth whether the people likes it, whether the president likes it, whether the governor of Virginia likes it or not. Hey, I've been down to the city farm, and I was in the city farm for four and a half years down there. I went down there every Saturday night, every Sunday, and I didn't think I could ever go in that place. Because when the individual invited me to go with him one time, he was going down there on that Saturday night and Sunday, twice a month. But he was going down there preaching, and he invited me to go with him, and I said, "No, I can't go." I says, I'm just scared of them going back there and putting us in that little room back there where, and it's two doors in there, but has no door handle and no doorknob on the inside where I'd be at. The only way that I could be out of that, get out of that, if they come and unlock the door on their side with a key and then open that door. Because yes, one time, this has been years ago, it's been 50 years ago, I reckon now. No, it ain't been quite 50, maybe 48. I was caught doing something. I was caught drinking. And I was driving. But guess what? But when I got there, and I was going up North Main Street, and I'm not proud of it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not proud of it at all. But I was going up North Main Street.
I got to the point I was weaving a little bit. So I just pulled the car over. Got out of the car, took the engine off, and I got on the sidewalk, started walking up the sidewalk. 2 o'clock in the morning. Here come a police officer. He said, "Get in the car, son." I got in the car. He took me off to jail to sleep it off. I mean, I'm not proud of that. But I'm telling you that for a reason. That yes, I've been there. I've been there when they lock them doors. And when the doors cling together, it's a sound that there's no other sound that is like that. But in saying that, I know what it's about. And I got to thinking about this gentleman there wanting me to go. And he kept asking me, Sunday after Sunday, after Sunday, Sunday night, Wednesday night. He says, "When you going to go with me, Donnie?" He says, "Because I know you want to go." I said, "Well, you know, I just been a little timid about it as well." But I finally broke down. I finally went. I said, and one reason I went, because when I was reading that week, studying the Bible, was talking about over there when Paul and Silas was in jail. Well, Paul and Silas was in there. What did they do? They prayed the Lord. They prayed. They sung hymns. They sung songs. They knew the God that they served. And what happened? An earthquake came. And I don't know why in the world they give all of that money to Elvis. Because they said that he brought about and he recorded the first song, Jailhouse Rock. No, he didn't either. That Jailhouse Rock was way, 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 way before him. Way before us. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke out there, that jailhouse, it rocked. It rocked to the point that it took off its shackles and the door was open. But what did they do? They didn't flee. They stood right there still a singing. Then here come a guard. The guard knew that he had just been let out. Because of all the other doors that had been let out. All the other prisoners that had been let out for the doors this morning. And he knew. He knew if Paul and Silas was not in that jail cell, that he would be murdered. He would be murdered at that time. Because they got loose. He was about ready to take his own life. And Paul says, do thyself no harm. I mean, that individual got saved by the glorious presence of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Paul with the gospel. And he was the first missionary. He was the first one that went out here and started the missionary churches. He's the one that went out here on a missionary journey. And he went around supporting and preaching the gospel. And we have churches today that they don't even think about a missionary. They don't even think about a missionary. They don't think about supporting them or nothing else. If you say anything to them, well, why wouldn't you support a mission? Oh, yeah, we do, but we send our money off down here to this, to the convention. Well, hey. I want to be affiliated with a church to where when we have money come in and if we send our money out to the missionaries, we got the missionary's name on it. That's going to go directly to the missionary. And then it's going to go directly to his work. And it's not going to come up there and it's not going to pay for the secretary and sending letters out. And it's not going to pay for the office manager and all that. You may send some of them, you may send one of them, if you send them $100, when it comes all really right down to it, at the end of the way, when the missionary gets his money, he'll be lucky if he gets $10 of it. They're not missionary-minded. I mean, if you're missionary-minded, I want to see the missionaries come in the house. I want to see them when they're on furlough, come to the church. Present your work. Let us know. We had one here come back, was it a couple months, last month, a month before last? I mean, last year alone. He's a missionary to the Philippines. And he's built, he had finished one church, and about ready to start on another church over there, and handing it down to the to a pastor over there. But it says in 2013, how many was it, Brother Bill? He said that knew the Lord, had got saved that year through the missionary field and through the work over there. It was way up there. 1,200. I mean, hey, there's 1,200 there that where churches is going to, they're going to be blessed by that. And I want to be a part of his ministry. Because even though I know I'm going to have some rewards there, but it's some rewards I'm not. But I want all the rewards I can get. Because when I get there, when I go through the gates there in heaven, I'm not going to go look up my mother-in-law. I'm not going to go look up my stepfather. I'm not going to go look up my grandmother. I'm not going to go look here. I'm not going to go look up my brother. I'm not going to try to find them. The first one I'm going to find, Lord Jesus Christ, because he done more for me then than anybody else. Even though my family, they love me, and they would do anything on earth to help me, to stay out if I was in trouble or financially or something like that. They would try to help me or whatever. But they still have done nothing compared with the Lord Jesus Christ. He allowed me an escape from hell. Escape from hell where the worm dieth not. Where the worm dieth not. People in hell is going to be trying to take their own lives. They're going to try to hang themselves and everything. And they're not going to be able to harm themselves. They're going to be in anguish, in agony. They're going to be hollering out. Yes, I wish I'd have listened. I wish I'd have really listened to them. I believe it. Each and every individual that has ever heard the gospel preached, if they heard the message one time, or if they heard it 1,000 times, if they never accepted Jesus Christ, if they ever rejected Him, they in hell. Every one of their messages is going to come back. And they're not going to come back as just a little bit of it here, a little bit of it. No, I believe they're going to remember each and every word that was free. Not only that, they're going to remember each and every song that's been sung. And then after that,
You know, as long as we spend in heaven, and that's going to be for eternity. What is eternity? Forever. What is forever? Eternity. What is forever? It's forever. It's no ending there. That's how long we're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we're going to be down here and this the United States or this country that we live on around the world and every place. It's going to be burned. It's going to be burned with fire. What does fire do? What does it represent? Fire. What does a fire represents? Purification. That's what it's going to do. You go out here and you can burn down them trees. You can go ahead and burn in that grass. But once that grass is burned, then you let it set there long enough, it's going to come back greener. Why? Because it's been purified. We're going to come back. This is the earthly heaven. This right here is going to be the only heaven a whole lot of people know about. Who are they people? The people that reject God. Reject the message. Rejects the invitation. Rejects the Holy Spirit. You're saying, well, I got all the time in the world.
We can go and we can look in the obituary column today. And no doubt, each one of them with a name or pictures in the obituary column, they probably thought last week that they were probably thinking about Christmas. And there was someone may have been thinking about, well, where are we going on vacation this year?
We never should put God on the back burner. He needs to be in the forefront. He needs to be right out there in front of us so where we can follow Him. And like the picture that you see and that you go into the bookstore and even in Hobby Lobby and the different places, and I mean, they'll have a picture there speaking about the footprints of Jesus. Well, there's not but one footprint. You know why there's not but one?
It's because He didn't pick up the individual in His carrying. He's carrying him through the storm. Hey, Jesus never leaves one of His. What's that song of? Well, I know they got a song out about 99. Where's the one? When He's saying it, with the 99, they there in church. But where's the one? Where's the one that's went astray? Is went out in the world. What He's telling us, we must go and visit the stray. There's many that's out here that's just been strayed away from God. Why? Because they wearing their feelings on their shoulders. They don't like me anymore.
thought maybe, well, maybe they're just too busy this morning. But I went back tonight. They didn't even shake my hand tonight. What's the meaning of me going back? They don't care if I'm there or not. They don't care if I'm there or not. It don't make no difference. It don't make no difference if you shake my hand. It don't make no difference if you even recognize me. The reason I stay in church is because of Him and all of what He's done for me. For people today, they get their shoulders. They get the feelings on their shoulders. Yeah, I ain't going back with you. I mean, you know how to do it. Sunday morning, Sunday night. I am not going back that church. Matter of fact, I don't even feel like going to none. Because all of them probably like the same. Well, I got a little story to tell you about that. My wife, she can go to the store. I love banana sandwich. And I love banana pudding. But she can go to the store tomorrow and she can buy a bunch of bananas, say it's 6 bananas an hour. Yes, I can have a couple sandwiches out of that, and she can take the rest of it. Like banana pudding. Then I come back in a few days when I'm going to fix the banana sandwich. Two of them had rotten. Turned black. Salt. Put a steel bowl on that. It's pretty yellow. Just as firm. She said, well, you can have one to fix your banana sandwich. I got to have the other three. Make them. I'll have a real small banana, please. Did she throw the whole bunch out because it was 2 of them in there rotten? Nope. Just because there's a preacher out here is rotten does not mean that all of them are rotten. It don't mean that one's going to do this and one's going to do that. No, we need people in here that is preaching the Word of God. We don't need no people in here. And I thank the Lord. When I first come down here, that was one thing that I know. Y'all didn't have no board on the wall letting the people know how many Sunday school members is coming or how many is here for preaching. And how much money is taken in. I'm going to tell you what. That's nobody's business but God's business. And He's the one that knows it all. We need to come and not worry about the board. We don't need to come in here and worry about numbers. Because if we get focused on numbers, we'll quit focusing on God. We don't need to focus on numbers. We need to focus on God. So we keep our eyes and our ears open to Him. We ain't got to worry about the numbers. We ain't got to worry about the finances, nothing like that. Because God's going to take care of it. I mean, I'm going to tell you, got some people here, you stood the test of time. The Word of God has stood the test of time. They've been trying to do everything they can to do away with the King James Bible. But did you realize the King James Bible is still the number one seller in all books? I'm not saying that they're only number one seller in New York and and all of that is the number one Solomon of all books. Why? It has stood the test of time. And God's Word
says that my Word shall not return unto me. Lord. What he's saying is, if you preach my word,
if you deliver my word, it will do what it intended for it to do. It may not, you may not see no results of it today. We may not see no results of it this year. We may not see no results of it next year. We don't know what has happened to people's lives today. We need to keep our eyes focused on that. Everyone stand. Oh, he is bad and eyes closed. Brother Bill comes, is the song ready? I want to ask each and every one of you a question. That if you was to die today, right now, in the next, it's 12 o'clock. It was 1 minute past 12. You got 4 minutes. Because when a hand hits 5 after 12, your life will end here on earth. Do you know for a fact that you'll go to heaven? If you do, raise your hand. All right. Thank the Lord for that. Everybody that's here. Tell you something. We need to reach the people beyond us. We need to go out into the highways and the hedges and to compel them to come in. Now that compel is not to go out and drag them in. Because if you do that, the next thing you know, you will have law enforcement up here. But I think what you compel means in the Hebrew or in the Greek, either one means that we must continue telling the story. We must continue to witness to them. Because if we don't, who will? And you say, well, preacher, maybe another church will do it. Maybe. That is a word. It's not a positive type word. We need to make sure they hear the gospel. They need to make sure that they've heard something from us. And I try to myself to let people know that when they go out and visit. Don't just ask them to come to church. Be a friend to them first. They know what goes on in church. They know when you leave the house. They know if you go to church or not. And they know how many times a week you go to church. They know all about all this, everything that happens here in the service. What they want to see is, they want to see God in our lives. Now, our lives, if we don't go out here and just, you've got to get in church. You don't get in church, you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. We know that. We know that. But my former pastor, he, back over in Walnut Cove, we had to give a pastor Jimmy Pruitt time. He always said this behind his pulpit. He said, you make a friend, you got a friend for life. You got to let them know that you want to be their friend. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. God, I pray, Father, for each one of the individuals here this morning, Father. Father, by the uplifted hand, Lord, that they say that if they would wish to die in the next few moments, Lord, that they would go to heaven. And Father, we thank you for that. Father, there wasn't no hesitation in them raising their hand. And Lord, I pray, Father, that you would just meet their every need. Go with them, Father, and just bless them. And Father, as they go out this week and they invite people to church, or even just tell somebody that Jesus loves them and they also love them. Father, we need to let the people know that we love them also. Not just Jesus, but we also love them. And if there's anything that we can do for them, all they have to do is just give us a call. Father, we'll be done. We want to thank you for the word that you've given me this morning, Father. Lord, we just ask, Father, that you will apply to individual hearts and lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen.
252, only trust him.
252, only trust him. Know of anybody that's lost, just come to the front of the pew or come up here and just pray for them. That's what we need to do. As we sing.